Well, we carry on with our reading of John chapter 11. And this time today, we are going to take a look at what the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching about being the resurrection and the life. But as we look at this topic about the Lord Jesus Christ being the resurrection and the life, we have to go back a little bit to try and understand the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes the language of the Lord Jesus is not really fully understood. And so we begin here, before we even talk about the resurrection and the life, to ask ourselves what this really means. And we have to begin to understand what we call the language of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of times the Lord Jesus would use what we call figurative language. Figurative language is certainly a part of language, but it just requires a little bit more work to understand the depth of what the language means, or the figures of speech. Literal language, by itself, it's okay. But the problem with it, of course, is that it is actually quite limited. And there are aspects of language that cannot but use figurative language. And so before we even begin to understand the idea of the resurrection and the life, we need to understand how the Lord Jesus Christ employed figurative language. Well, let's take a look at some clear examples about what it means to use figurative language. Let's look at John chapter 11, for example. And we take a look at this. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Chapter 11, for example. And then in verse 9, we read this. Oh, in verse 4, we read this, right? Now, this is the sickness not unto death, but for the glory of God. 11 verse 4, and the first part of it. But the reality of it all was that Lazarus became sick and he died. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, this sickness is not unto death, it has to be understood very carefully. Otherwise, the Lord Jesus would almost be seen as being inaccurate or even inconsistent. Well, that is not true. It's just that he used a figure of speech. Well, then we go on further in chapter 11 and verse 9 now. And then the Lord Jesus asks, are there not 12 hours in the day? Well, of course there would be 12 hours and more. In fact, if you want to be literal about it, you have 24 hours. So when the Lord Jesus Christ said, are there not 12 hours in a day? He is talking about the regular hours in which a person may work. And then comes the night where a person needs to rest up. If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble. 11:9b. Well, the reality of it all is that even if it is in a day, the person may yet stumble. Obviously, we have figurative language in place as well. If one walks in the night, he stumbles. Well, this is another example. And then John 11, verse 11, he spoke and he said, and John wrote about this, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. So we have a series of phrases that are obviously to be understood figuratively. And of course, when you look at things figuratively, you begin to realize that you know you need to go a little bit deeper than just simply taking things literally. The lack of comprehension by the disciples, that is obvious, right? They did not fully understand the Lord Jesus. In fact, there were times when they misunderstood him completely. Their understanding of much of what the Lord Jesus Christ said is actually fairly literal. And that, when a person just understands things literally all the time, then obviously there is a lack of depth in the comprehension of what the Lord Jesus said and meant. And so we have to try and understand the Lord Jesus Christ very carefully, figuratively, as far as language is concerned, in order to understand the whole idea of how the Lord Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Well, let's take a look at this now, John 11, 11, where the Lord Jesus Christ explains what he thought of as death. Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. See, to the Lord Jesus, who has power over life and death, death to him is merely sleep. And that is, there's a lot of difference between literal idea of death and sleeping. When a person has died and gone beyond sleep, you can't wake the person up. But to the Lord Jesus, death is no more than just sleep, and he will be able to wake a person out of sleep. But the disciples, unfortunately, understood this in a very literal way. And so one of them said, if he sleeps, he will get well. That's a very common understanding. If a person is sick, if a person can rest and just wake up shortly after, he will be feeling better. He will get well. And so we have to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ had to explain to them. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. And that's John 11, verse 13. Well, we have to ask ourselves, finally, how the Lord Jesus resolved this matter. When he began to understand that and accept that the disciples did not fully understand him, he had to tell them very plainly. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And then he went on further to add, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Now, the plain statement has to be given, because they really thought that the Lord Jesus meant that Lazarus is asleep. Now, if they were to understand what the Lord Jesus Christ said, and said, I go that I may wake him up, why would they need the Lord Jesus to walk quite a long distance just to wake Lazarus up? Can't he just get up on his own? Or for that matter, can't the sisters wake him up? But the disciples did not understand what the Lord Jesus said until he told them very, very plainly, straightforwardly, the fact is that Lazarus is dead. And so he added something else that deserves quite a bit of attention. And then he said these words, for your sakes, I was not there. Now that is an interesting statement. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ could have gone to Lazarus immediately when he received the news that Lazarus was quite ill. And then he said that it was for the glory of God and for his own glory that he was not there, that he did not go there immediately. Now, this time he added this word of explanation. For your sakes, I was not there. What does that mean? I think that is important for us to understand. You see, the disciples were used to seeing the Lord Jesus Christ healing. In fact, one may say that they probably saw him healing people every single day. Wherever he went, there would be people who would be coming to see him. Either some people were possessed, were brought by friends or relatives, or people would be sick. Either they can come on their own, or there would be people pleading with him for mercy and for help. And so the disciples at first were astonished. But then in time to come, they got used to it. When they became used to the Lord Jesus Christ healing people, making them well, the learning value diminishes. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had to say, for your sakes, I was not there. So this is how the Lord Jesus cared for his disciples. The learning value, the focus, the consideration of learning more about the Lord Jesus should always be keen and sharp. Unfortunately, that can diminish in its sharpness. And so the Lord Jesus Christ explained that there was one special reason, that's not the only one, but one special reason. For their sakes, he was not there. Now, he, of course, had to explain what he meant, for your sakes. And then he said, that you may believe. Now, this phrase, again, has to be understood not just literally, but figuratively. Did they believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Messiah? Yes. Did they give up their all to follow him? Yes. Did they have a faith that has been growing all the time, although albeit a little bit slowly? Yes. So what did he mean when he said, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, that you may believe? You see, in the heart and the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, the idea of having faith in him is not a static thing. It is not just simply being able to say in the mind and in the heart with the lips that one believes. There's got to be something more than that. So there were certain barriers, as it were, that prevented the Lord's disciples from going further in their belief, in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was important. So when he said that you may believe, he is really speaking of something deeper, something stronger, something more profound than the level of faith that they had. Of course, the level of faith that they had was already far better than the multitudes. Certainly, they had faith in contrast to that of the Jews who rejected the Lord Jesus. But having said that, the reality of it all is that faith can be far deeper, far stronger than the disciples imagined or understood. And that is something that we too want to consider. How much do we believe? How deeply do we believe? How much further along the way on the road of belief can we go? And that is important. Well, straight away, the Lord Jesus Christ had this occasion when what he said was proven to be correct. So the Lord Jesus Christ said, Nevertheless, let us go to him. Now, Thomas is one of the twin, one of the fellow disciples said to his friends, and he said to them, let us also go that we may die with him. Now, that is a little bit disconcerting. What did Thomas really mean? That they might go and die with him. Now, this has to be understood a little bit more carefully. Certainly, Thomas is not really, really talking about dying with Lazarus, because collectively, they did not understand that Lazarus had, in fact, already died. If they were going to die with Lazarus, you don't need to go to the home of Lazarus to die there. Obviously not. So what did Thomas really mean? Well, you have to go back to what the Lord Jesus Christ said. John 11, verse 7, the Lord Jesus was, in this particular text, the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. Now, that's recorded in John 11, 7. Now, the disciples objected to that, and they said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Well, the disciples of the Lord Jesus were, one, not very keen, not very certain that it was very wise to actually go to Judea at this point of time. They were conscious right now, not of the fact that Lazarus had died, or for that matter, to go to Bethany at the home of Lazarus and the two sisters. But they were far more concerned about the fact that the Jews obviously had plans to arrest him, to stone him, or worse. And so they were a bit concerned when they said, are you going to Judea again? Well, Thomas had the right heart, even if he did not have the right understanding. And so he said to them, let's go to Judea again. Then he added, and he says, I'm going to wake Lazarus up from his death sleep. Well, Thomas was actually quite brave to say that let us go that we may die with him. Meaning to say that if the situation is such that the Jews would stone the Lord Jesus and he might die from stoning, and if the disciples were there with him, they too might be stoned and they might die as well. And Thomas really was able to say honestly from within his heart, he is prepared to die with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he said to the disciples to encourage them, let us go and die with him. Now that was a very brave thing to say, but that actually is a complete misunderstanding of what the Lord Jesus Christ meant. Surely the Lord Jesus does not mean that they are going to Judea not to wake up Lazarus, but to be stoned to death. That is certainly not what the Lord Jesus Christ meant. But this was unfortunately sort of understood. And of course, as we look at this particular text, we realize that we must try and understand the Lord Jesus and all his teachings at a deeper level. And this is something that we want to be challenged to consider. Well, it's wonderful to know the stories of the scriptures. It is wonderful to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is where we must go deeper. Now, deeper must also mean more accurately, rather than deeper and then end up wrong. Well, the problem of misunderstanding or the problem of poor understanding or lack of understanding is actually not a new thing for the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to go back a little bit and to instances mentioned particularly in the Gospel of Mark. And then we have to sort of try and understand where the Lord Jesus was coming from. All right? But let's take a look at Mark chapter 4 very carefully. That in Mark chapter 4, in verse 13, we see the first instance where the disciples did not understand the Lord Jesus Christ very carefully. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ began to teach the people in parables, well, they could not understand him, and so they raised this question to him. So they ask, what does it mean? At verse 13, he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The parables were not just meant only for the multitudes. It was also meant as instruction for the disciples as well. Unfortunately, they did not understand this very much at all. And so this was something that had to be raised up. And this is important for us to take note of very carefully. Right? So we have to ask ourselves also, beginning with the Gospels, how much do we understand the Gospels? I mean, the parables and the Gospel. Because the Gospel itself would actually have a lot of material. There are narratives, there are parables, there are straight instructions, there are discussions, there are encounters, there are personal instances where the Lord spoke to people individually. There are many aspects in the Gospels to be noted. The parables would be just one of those areas. Well, we have to ask ourselves, do we understand the parables of the Lord Jesus? Because if we don't understand the parables of the Lord Jesus, we would probably have difficulty understanding all the other types of things that we will discover, that we will read and discover in the Gospels. So what is the problem? In chapter 6, we have this problem, and that is stated very clearly. Well, the incident is that of the Lord Jesus. We caught in a storm, he was resting, and disciples were greatly frightened. They woke him up and then said to him, do you not care that we are all perishing? The Lord Jesus Christ got up quietly, stilled the storm, and the disciples were amazed. And we read in Mark 6, 51, 52, and he said, they were amazed, greatly amazed, beyond measure, and they marveled. That is to tell you that they did not understand how the Lord Jesus Christ had so much power and authority. And this is despite the fact that they saw him heal people every day, cast out demons again and again. But they just couldn't connect the power and authority fully with the Lord Jesus Christ, which is kind of sad, right? But this is a real problem. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said this, and he had to explain to them. And Mark 6, we have this recorded. They had not understood about the loaves. Well, the Gospel of Mark recorded the fact that the Lord fed 5,000 people, men, 5,000 men, not including the women and the children. This was a miracle of great magnitude. And yet, the disciples somehow failed to comprehend how this turned out. So when he stilled the storm, you know, they couldn't but feel that they were just astonished, they were amazed, they marveled that the Lord Jesus Christ could still the storm. Well, we read Mark 6:52, they had not understood about the loaves. And the reason is because their heart was hardened. Now, this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully, unfortunately, and it is not well understood at all. Right? This is something that we need to look at again and again. Well, let's look now at a third passage, and this is Mark 7. In Mark 7, the Lord Jesus Christ, spoke to them, and he said, this generation seeks a sign. And I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. And then in verse 14, chapter 7, the disciples had forgotten to take bread. And they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. And then the Lord Jesus Christ said, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. That's the Herodians. Unfortunately, they didn't understand. And so they said among themselves, they reasoned among themselves and said that he's probably scolding us because we have no bread. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Verse 17. Why are you reasoning along this line? First, a lack of understanding could be because the reasoning process is actually wrong. That's the first problem. So if we reason wrongly, we can end up with a wrong conclusion. Second problem. Do you not yet perceive? That's the second problem, right? They did not perceive. To be able to read is one thing. To hear is another. But we need a reasoning process. But that reasoning process must actually reflect perception. If our reasoning process is wrong or inadequate, it will reflect that we actually have poor perception. And that could be a problem. Now, then we go on to the third one. And the third problem is that of understanding. So we have reason, we have perception, and we have understanding. And they are interrelated, obviously. If we cannot reason properly, we might end up with a perception problem. And if we cannot perceive properly, we may end up with a lack of understanding problem. So they are three problems related. But it is related particularly to the heart. And so we read this in Mark. In chapter 6, verse 52, their heart was hardened. In Mark 7, 17, the Lord Jesus Christ said, is your heart still hardened? Now that becomes a problem, obviously. Right? So the hardening of the heart is not something that is to be taken lightly. So we have to ask ourselves how that actually works. Very, very carefully. Right? So you need to look at a number of things. Hardness of heart, the reasoning process, the perception problem, the lack of understanding. Because if the heart is hardened, you will find that it will affect everything. It will affect our reasoning. It will affect our perception. It will affect our understanding. And so we need to work at the heart very carefully. And we are to understand the language of the Lord Jesus. It will involve all of these aspects. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said, having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Now, here is an added problem. And do you not remember? And that is a major problem too. Sometimes we read, many times we do not remember. And all these things will add to the problem of comprehension of what the Lord Jesus said and what he meant. So he went back to them. Do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said to him, 12. And when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? 7. Right? So obviously that would be the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is that he has power to give enough and more. He can give amply. But for some reason, they did not understand. And so the Lord had to raise this up to them once again. How is it you do not understand? And when we take a look at the challenge of understanding the Lord Jesus, we have to look at the language the Lord Jesus Christ used. Sometimes it is literal language, such as 5 loaves, 5,000 men, 7 loaves, 4,000 men. And the baskets that were there were 12 and 7. These are literal things. But we need to go beyond the literal to the deeper level of figurative language. What do these things mean? Certainly, the Lord Jesus Christ is not worried about how many physical loaves they had. Even if they had just 1 loaf among the 12 men, that should not be their worry or their anxiety or their focus. They had the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the teacher above everybody else in their midst. And here he was teaching them profound lessons. Unfortunately, their hearts were hardened. They could not reason properly. The perception was very low. The understanding was even lower. And so he had to ask them, do you not yet understand? Well, this is something that we want to work at also. As we read the Gospel of John, as we take a look at what the Lord Jesus Christ has taught, there are many, many deep truths. We read the stories at first level, literally. At the deeper level, we must understand this figuratively. And then beyond the physical, beyond the literal and the figurative, we must go to the points when what we read, what we learn will affect our heart deeply. So that we may believe at the level which we ought to be at. And so the Lord Jesus Christ wanted the disciples to look at all the lessons he had taught, either by example, by illustration, by explanation, or using parables. All of them had decidedly deep lessons to learn from. Unfortunately, the disciples did not learn them as well. And our challenge must be to go deeper in our understanding. Let's try to understand the language of the Lord Jesus. There is always something deeper. There is something more profound. There is something wiser. There is something that will help our heart to comprehend and our faith to improve. Look for these things every time we read the Word of God. whether they are in the Gospels or in the Epistles. Let's pray that the Lord will give to us this great love and desire to go deeper in our faith. Let's pray together. Our Father, we come before you, recognizing and confessing that we are really no better than the disciples of old. Our hearts continue to be yet hardened. Our reasoning process is very often not very good, not accurate, and our perception is even worse. So we end up with a lack of understanding and rather poor faith. And Father, we confess these things before you, asking for grace, for mercy, that we may comprehend what it really means for us to appreciate, to understand the teachings of the Lord Jesus. Help us to look forward to a deeper perception, understanding, and far stronger faith than we have presently. Grant us this grace and mercy, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.